How are we? Good, that's good. It's been hot, but it's a nicer day today, so that's good. So all the ladies think whenever I wear a blue shirt, I'm going to preach. That's what I was told. So I tricked you today. There you go, new shirt. Who knows what the definition of hospitality is? This is really a bad joke, but anyway. Making someone feel at home when you wish they were. It's not good, is it? Here's another one. When I die, I want to die like my grandmother. She died peacefully in her sleep, not screaming like all the other passengers in her car. sorry. We're going to be starting a new series, but this last couple of weeks we've been looking at some of the words of Jesus, and I love the words of Jesus. Can I encourage you in this season, there's no better place than to go to the Gospels and look at Jesus' words, just the life and hope that he brings. And I love this passage that we're going to look at this morning because it talks about Jesus' departure. It starts with the upper room, the Last Supper. And it ends with him, going to the cross. But in between then, he gives all these little cameos and these insights that are just so good. And so if you look in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, he gives this first thing that he says. He's leaving, but he is still present. He's leaving, but he's still present. Because chapter 15 sits within chapters 13 and 14. Remember verse 14, he says, in a little while, chapter 14, sorry, in a little while, I won't be with you any longer. And all the disciples push back on that, and particularly Peter. But then later on in chapter 14, he says this. He says, but I won't leave you as orphans, but I'll give you another comforter to help you, and he will be with you forever. See, he was present, he was leaving, but he said, I'm going to still be with you. You're going to still be able to do life with me. Imagine 3 years of intense life together, and at the end of that 3 years, he says, he's going. And these guys were a little bit confused and perplexed by that. So he was leaving. But look at John 14, verses 2 and 3. He says that my Father's house has many rooms. This is in the context of when he says that he's leaving. He says, in my Father's house there's many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm leaving. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. But when I leave, I'm going to prepare somewhere for you. I love that. That sense. He's preparing a place for us, something in eternity. And, I was thinking about this whole thing of, Jesus has got something bigger and better for us to come. And in the light of all our present woes and worries, we've got eternity with him. We've got a room already reserved. And in the light of COVID, we should see COVID or any of the other issues we have in our lives as in the light of eternity. Now, COVID's just like this unwelcome guest at the moment. He's worn out his welcome. We don't like it. We're all doing our best. We've been watching the news and things aren't great. Everyone's finding it hard. But it's not a time to be selfish and entitled. It's a time to draw closer to Jesus and rely on his strength and his power. We don't want to be about COVID. We want to be about people and the good news of Jesus in the midst of difficult circumstances. It's a time for us to shine. It's a time for us to embrace the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit that he's promised and he wants us to have. And he wants us to shine this as the fruit of the Spirit, the character of who we really are. Galatians 5, he talks about this whole thing about, what a sinful looks like. And he talks about, lying and adultery and jealousy and all these other things. But then he goes on and it says what the follower of Jesus will look like when the Holy Spirit is within them and taken up residence. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. Kindness. That's an outdated word, isn't it? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. That's another outdated phrase. Kindness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. So our mindset needs to be focused on the eternal things. And I remember when I was a young adult, that was a while ago now, and I just, you know, the world was my oyster. I had everything in front of me. And you young adults here today, you know, you feel like the whole world is before you. You know, you're thinking of, in things like, you know, what am I going to do? And who am I going to marry? What sort of car will I have? What about where will I live? And what will be my vocation? And all of these sort of things, we're just immersing ourselves into these spaces, thinking about these things. But I want to encourage you alongside of that. And even more importantly, immerse yourself now in what Jesus wants for your life. The stuff that you start to invest into spiritually at this age and the patterns and the habits that you develop, they'll take care of all those other questions when we let the Holy Spirit rule and lead in our lives. You know, we need to learn how to self-feed. That's a great thing for you to do as young adults and for us. How do we start to learn to hear and be obedient to God's word? We need to learn to hear from God, and then we need to start trusting those promptings that we hear. That'd be an interesting question just for you to think about right now. How does God speak to you? He wants to. Absolutely. He wants to be in your life leading and guiding you. That's the promises of Scripture. But how do you hear from God? And do you trust those promptings and play those hunches when you hear them? I want to challenge you this week and encourage you just to step into that space and Holy Spirit, is that you speaking to me? Do I need to obey in this space of my life? And generally for me, it's the small things. It's apologizing to that person, or it's, which I seem to do a lot of, or it's encouraging that person, or it's remembering to pray for that person, or it's an area of sin or struggle in my life that I actually have to lay down and submit to Him. These are the things that He calls us to do. He calls us to give ourselves completely to Him. And I guess the reason when we look at this is that Jesus is preparing a place for us, and this is where John 5, 1 and 2 actually really comes in, because it talks about there about Jesus, what does it say? Who's got their Bibles there? What does it say in John 15, 1 and 3? I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. Weird statement, eh? But here's the thing about that. Jesus is leaving, but He's still here and He's preparing a place for us. And the reason that He's still here and the Holy Spirit is still here, He actually wants us to get us prepared for eternity. And that quote there where it talks about pruning is talking about developing our heart for glory. It's about letting God do the things in us that we need to be to become more like Him, to reflect the love of God and the person of His character. Do you get that? One person does. But that, because God doesn't have grandchildren, He only has children. The Father wants to prepare us for glory. And this is what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 3, verses 8 and 9. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, if you say you're a follower of me and yet you're not living that way, then maybe you're not. If you say you've repented, then demonstrate fruit that displays that repentance and that new life. And then he goes on and says, and do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. In other words, we've got this connection. We're in the family. You know, we just need to please God. We don't need to go the whole way because we've got this connection. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, Christ-likeness. We shouldn't have a birthright entitlement, but rather we need to recognize that He's calling us to change. Matthew 7 verses 16 and 17 says, by their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. And Jesus said this in John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. So if we're connected to the vine, we reflect the vine. He's leaving, but he's still present. And he's not only leaving us here to prepare us, but the Father's preparing a place for us because he's got something far better. Jesus has left, but we're still here and is refining us while we're here. So he challenges us to stay connected. Stay connected to the vine. Look at verses 4 to 7 of John 15. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing if you do not remain in me. And he goes on and he goes on. And this word remain just continues to be spoken out 10 times or 11 times in 9 verses. The word remain. It's the word to connect. It's the word to abide. It's the word to become a partaker of. Be a part of it. Demi Lee Brennan had a liver transplant at the age of 9, and she faced a life on anti-rejection drugs. And like every other like all other transplant patients. 9 months later, however, her red blood cell count was starting to attack her own white cells. It was as if her own body was turning on them and they were invaders. Something radical had been done to save her life. On a whim, her doctors decided to take her off the anti-rejection medication and see how she went. What happened was that she had changed her blood type. She was no longer O negative like her parents, but had taken on the donor's O positive type. Now at 15, she was totally off immunization or immunosuppression drugs. Is that the word? Immunosuppression drugs. And although she had to retake every childhood injection that she had previously taken, she is normal. The fact that a young boy had died to give Miss Brennan a new life isn't taken lightly, she says. I'm probably the most grateful person because that has saved my life and given me a chance to fulfill my life. I just want to live every moment I've got for them to show them that I'm so grateful. Radical transformation did happen, not only when a donor's blood cells invades a sick person, but when Jesus comes in and takes up residence. He calls us to remain in him. Philippians 2 verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Are you remaining and connected to the Father today? He doesn't call us just into a good way of life and into a community of faith. He doesn't call us just to learn the Bible. He doesn't just call us and teach us a few religious practices like prayer and communion and other things, but he calls us into the abiding life of Christ, where Christ's life and character and person and the Holy Spirit comes in, takes up residence, inculcates every part of our life, and we start to reflect that way and that within our culture. 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power might rest on me. It's not us, it's him, and it's his life in us. And so really we just become divine reflections when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and when the Father is present and when we as the vine are connected to the branch. Look at verses 9 and 13. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And I guess what I want to ask is, what is Jesus actually talking about here? He's moved from from talking about remaining in me, and now he's ratcheted it up a little bit because he's talking about abiding and reflecting Jesus' character and God's character. Now remain in my love. Did you see that? Remain in my love, and you will remain in my love. And he talks about the joy of the Father. May my joy be in you, and your joy will be complete when that's happened. This is the whole thing. Jesus is speaking about a transformation that occurs. A number of us in the leadership team and staff have been reading a book by Will Mancini together. It's a book on, it just sort of talks about where we are as a church, and it's talking about the need for discipleship in greater proportions. It's a bit of a touchstone about where we are culturally and where the church has landed. I'm finding it actually really challenging and just really, really, really helpful. But he talks in there about the difference between teaching and training. Because he says, as churches, we've taught a lot, but we haven't probably trained so much. So let me illustrate this. So we got a new dog, Lucy. I talked about her last week. And she's a crazy lab Kelpie cross. She's got a Kelpie brain and also a lab brain. She just loves food. And she's the sweetest little thing. She's not like the buffet that we had, but she does all these amazing tricks. Like she'll sit, she'll drop, she'll shake hands, she'll roll this way, she'll roll that way when you tell her on command, she'll run around you. All these other things that had been taught to her that she would do. And that was pretty impressive when we got it. We thought, wow, she's a clever little thing. Because the owner was showing us that she's a rescue dog. Anyway, but you know, as a dog, she was out of control. You'd walk in the gate and she'd jump all over you and lick you. And, you know, if she came inside, she'd put her feet up on the benches. She just didn't have any controls, any discipline. And so, really, they taught her tricks, but they haven't really trained her. She knew all these tricks, but she didn't know how to be a well-behaved little dog. She wasn't settled. She'd see another dog and she'd go off, and you'd take her for a walk and she'd run around and around and around. She was just out of control. The neighbours would laugh. And I think that's the thing that we need to be aware of, that as Christians we can so easily learn a few tricks. We can learn the language. We can do the thing of coming to church. We can use the right language when we pray. We can say enough to impress people and put the persona on. But really, are we trained? Is Christ's life in us? Are we becoming what he's called us to be? Just give me that little orange thing there. So we've got this great, great ministry here at Parkey called DMM, Discipleship Making Ministry, and they had a training session a while ago, and I'd really commend that to you, the ministry. We've got Catherine here. Put your hand up, Catherine, and Karen over there, and they regularly talk. And it's this whole thing about what is Christ calling us to be as his people, because we've made it something that it should never have been. And so I was looking at this. I've got my glasses on. The law of five S's. And it's asking all these questions about what it is and who it is that we are and how we're interacting with our community and what we're doing. And I'd challenge you, just to encourage you, to get one of these at the thing, at the foyer when you leave. But, you know, so much of what we do is about the program, the plan, but is the personality of Christ actually come into our lives? Are we abiding in him? Because there's this mystical union that occurs when we surrender our lives to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence in our lives. 2 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4. After speaking about all the struggles that we have in our previous life and now coming into this new life in Christ, he says this. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Isn't that beautiful? We become participants of the divine nature. Who would have thought? Having escaped the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. There's so much in this section of John 15. It's not this cutesy little sort of encouragement just to trust in Jesus. It's calling us into a deeper life of faith and commitment, a life that calls us to take up Jesus' competencies and his character. And in the midst of difficult stuff, we don't reflect our own selves, but we reflect God. We become a place of peace and calm. Our basis isn't about what we have, it's about who we have in us. So we're going to have communion in a minute, but I just want to finish with a few things to challenge you, and maybe you might just want to do some self-reflection at this point. How do we need to engage, and how will we be empowered as we absorb some of these new directions? So the first thing I want to encourage you to do this morning, as you think about this passage, I want you to believe the promises of Jesus. That God is, he's the branch, and he's calling us to be the vine connected to him. If we're not fruitful, he's going to prune us because he's wanting to prepare us for glory and for ministry here. So believe the words and the promises. Regardless of what you're going through today, he wants to be your life. He wants you to reflect his character. So believe. Secondly, invite. Here's a question for you. Are you doing it for tricks? Are you doing a few tricks, or are you actually being trained by God? Are you inviting God into every area of your life? Or are you just doing enough to keep the facade of good behavior happening? He doesn't want tricks. He wants us trained and reflecting Jesus. And then thirdly, maybe some of you here today just simply need to obey. Obey what you already know. Start putting it into practice. Jesus said this in John 13, verses 13 and 14. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. He's declaring his sovereignty there. But then verse 14, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash the feet of one another. It's not enough just to believe in him as Lord and Saviour. We need to be obedient to what he calls us to do also. And that may not be washing feet for you. It may be something else. But he calls us all to be reproducing and effective disciples. And then the last encouragement that I'll leave with you for you to think about, and that is this. Jesus said this, I am the vine. In verse 5 of chapter 15, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in the vine. Realize our effectiveness comes through that relationship, not our own competencies. This morning we've got communion, and I'm going to ask if we get our communion stewards to come up and just grab a station. And this is the whole point of the communion service, that we would take up Christ's life. He gave it for us. He did that because we have got this immunodeficient suppression thing happening. We actually need to have our blood type changed. He shed his blood so that we might have life. So as you come forward in a moment and grab the bread and just hold the cup, and we'll drink that together. Maybe believe the promises that God has got for you today. Invite him into every area of your life. Obey the things you know that he's calling you to do. And in the midst of all of that, remain connected. Let his character, let his person, let his value, his hearts, the ministry of the Spirit just inculcate, wash over your lives and make you the person that you need to be. Without him, you're going to be pruned hard. You don't want that. But let Jesus' blood wash it. So why don't you come forward? I'm going to pray. Why don't you all just stand up? And so, Father, we thank you today for just that you have called us into a relationship as children, and that you want to do something deep and special in our lives, we invite you to do that right now. Holy Spirit, would you move across this room? Would you touch our hearts? Would you move us? Would you give us pictures and words right now, the things that we need to do and what you're calling us to be? Lord, I pray that we won't just be a church that does a few tricks, but Lord, we're thoroughly prepared and trained to be effective disciples for you. Touching our community, impacting our world, being divine reflections of you. And so I pray, Lord, have your way with us as we spend this time around you, remembering and thanking you for what you've done, in Jesus' name. Amen.